This morning's scripture lesson comes from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, chapter 1, verse 1, and then verses 10 through 20. The vision of Isaiah, son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the teaching of our God, you people of Gomorrah. What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. When you come to appear before me, who asked this from your hand? Trample my courts no more. Bringing offerings is futile. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and calling of convocation. I cannot endure solemn assemblies with iniquity. Your new moons and your appointed festivals, my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you stretch out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rescue the oppressed. Defend the orphan. Plead for the widow. Come now, let us argue it out, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be like snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. May God bless the reading, hearing, and application of God's holy word this morning. Let's pray together. Lord, as we have read and heard these words from your prophet Isaiah, your words to a nation, your people, Lord, we can say, oh, that doesn't apply to us, that's ancient times. But Lord, there is an application for us as well, for your word is eternal. Lord, we pray that we may take these words to heart today, that in these moments together we may gain a greater understanding of your word for us and what you would have us to be doing. Lord, we do come knowing that we are all sinners, that we all make mistakes. We do not measure up to your glory and your expectation for us. So in these moments, Lord, we pray that our hearts and our minds may be open to receive a word from you that will help us in our daily living. And we ask this all in the name and the power of Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever looked at a hamper or a basket of dirty clothes and wished that they would clean themselves? We may not be very far from that possibility. For according to a study published a few years ago, dunking cotton into a vat of specially crafted nanoparticles creates a material that self-cleans when exposed to sunlight. In one test, Chinese engineers dyed materials for 30 minutes in an orange dye. They then hung the clothes beneath simulated sunlight. The dye's hold on the fabric broke, and after a while, easily washed away with water. Imagine just one of the applications would be there'd be no need to stuff our carry-on bags with extra t-shirts and blouses. We could take just a couple changes of clothes for our trip and not worry about running out of clean clothing. Self-cleaning clothes, however, are not an excuse for laziness. Something is still required of the one who desires cleanliness. We can't just rip off our clothes at night and leave them in a pile only to put them on fresh the next morning. That doesn't quite happen that way. We still need to, at the very least, both hang them up and rinse them, which is strangely similar to God's demands of Israel through the prophet Isaiah. In other words, to be restored, to be washed clean, some work is necessary. We see the connection to laundry in verse 18 of today's text. Come now, let us argue it out, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be like snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. The stains of sin that defile the fabric of our lives can be removed so that our garments look as pure as the driven snow and as soft and pleasant as wool. But I want us to spend a couple moments looking a little deeper at today's scripture. I think you got the message, God is not happy. According to Isaiah, God's people and the nation of Israel have turned away. They are worshiping false gods. But that's not the only reason why God is not pleased. Israel has not only forgotten the Lord their God, Israel has also forgotten Israel. The people have lost their way. Once they were an oppressed and exploited people. They were slaves in their history, but somewhere in their journey as people, those who were once oppressed have become the oppressor. A people who believed they were acting rightly by offering sacrifices, remaining ritually clean, were in fact both sinning and unclean. They're so filthy that God shouts through Isaiah, when you come to appear before me, who asked this from your hand? Trample my courts no more. The people probably believed that they were obeying God's law, fulfilling it, doing what the people learned through Moses and the Ten Commandments and other laws that God gave the people in the wilderness. They thought that they were obeying God. But the Lord responds through Isaiah, bringing offerings is futile. Incense is an abomination to me. These are harsh yet clear words uttered by the prophet demanding more. A prophet unwilling for compromise. And we may ask why. Because the poor are suffering. The widows and orphans are forgotten. The aliens are abused. And God cannot allow Israel, the people of God, to act that way. So God offers them an out. Destruction is not inevitable. That's the good news. Both redemption and reconciliation are readily available for those who are willing to wash themselves. But what exactly did this washing oneself for Isaiah look like? Perhaps along with the priests and the kings of Israel, we would define washing as repentance, belief, and worship. But that's the difficult part, because Israel is not to do any of these things that are commonly granted, that we take for granted within our Christian communities. Even if we use Isaiah's language, God, through Isaiah, does not demand from us prayer or worship, a good heart, or even evangelism. Even though you make many prayers, Isaiah says, I will not listen, because your hands are full of blood. The solution to washing oneself clean, then, the solution that God offers to Israel in this scene, demands purity and cleanliness, a purity and cleanliness rooted in action, in order to restore their stained hands, their relationship with God. Israel has to listen and learn to do good. This is particularly important because a right relationship with God, according to Isaiah, is centered on right action, good deeds, carried out on behalf of the oppressed, the poor, and the marginalized. It wasn't enough just to do what the law said to do. It was more like, what's in your heart? Don't go through just the motions, but put those beliefs into action. Listen to the list of demands that God makes of his people in verses 16 and 17 of today's text. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rescue the oppressed. Defend the orphan. Plead for the widow. God makes a wonderful promise in the next verse. You are stained with sin, but I will wash you clean as snow. Although your stains are deep red, you will be as white as wool. That sounds wonderful. It's like, let me add it. But there's a catch, for the Lord continues in the next verse. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good things the land produces. Notice the contingency. If you are willing and obedient, the washing clean only happens after the obedience. In other words, in order to be washed clean, in order to make yourselves clean, injustice and exploitation must be faced and remedied. We have to remember, too, that Isaiah was writing to both, not just the people, but also to the leadership of the nation, especially when he was talking about the injustices. Yet the consequences are steep. For if we don't do that, but if you refuse and rebel, Isaiah says, you shall be devoured by the sword. In other words, injustice is akin to violence, and to act unjustly is to be devoured by our own violence. According to Isaiah, then, there is no middle ground. We either act according to God's will, or we risk the consequences of ruin. It is especially timely to reflect on this teaching as we begin the season of Lent. Have we given up some pleasure that we enjoy for the season? Or have we taken on some new discipline for the next 6 weeks in the season of reflection and repentance? If it is entirely inward focused, our planned Lenten activities may not be enough. For the teaching from Isaiah leads us to look beyond just our personal practices to those of the groups to which we belong. Families, church, neighborhoods, and even our nation. Are the people with whom we associate working towards God's justice? If not, then Isaiah tells us that we need to be more proactive and prod them in helping them and reaching out to those in need. God is talking to us through the prophet Isaiah. Do you want self-cleaning clothes? Well, you need to do the dirty work. Take them off, plunge them in water, and hang them up to dry in the S-O-N, the sun's pure rays. If, and it's a contingent if we do that, then the Lord says, I'll wash the clothes clean. First there's justice, and then there's reconciliation. So where do we go from here? We look over the list in Isaiah that the Lord says to cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, correct oppression, bring justice to the fatherless, plead the widow's cause. So how are we doing, both individually and collectively as a congregation? Are we more focused on our offerings and rituals, our worship, than the will of God regarding personal and systemic justice? After doing our evaluation, we need to not stop there, but to go and to do, to be active. In other words, at some point the conversation must end, and when it does, action must begin. And that's what Isaiah was calling the people to do, to be people of action. Self-cleaning clothes, in the end, are a great idea, but a bit misleading. They still require something of us, namely a removal, a plunging, and a hanging, all of which are necessary before our clothes can be cleaned, made new, and restored. For us, reconciliation, washing our sins clean, requires the embodiment of God's justice in and throughout all of our communities. We're not solely alone. We're not isolated believers. We're here collectively, but we also, when we leave here, we are continue to be part of different communities, and God is calling us to be involved in those communities, to seek out and work for God's justice in those areas. Let's pray together this morning. Lord, we hear your call to both individual and communal justice. Lord, we pray that we may hear your voice and see you leading us in the ways that you would have us work. As we have come to worship this day, O God, we believe that we are doing what you have called us to do. But we also hear you saying it's not enough. Help us, Lord, to see those who are oppressed, to those who need help, and help us to not be afraid, but help us to perhaps not do the work alone, but to join with others in addressing the needs of your people so that none will be oppressed, and that we could not be viewed as being oppressors. Lord, we take this lesson, your words from Isaiah, ancient words, but yet can be applied today. And Lord, we'd love to have self-cleaning lives. That would be so easy to do. We know, Lord, that it's only through Jesus Christ who came to clean us, to pay the price for our sins that stain us. And Lord, we just pray that through Christ and his Spirit, we may be empowered to reach out to others as we go our separate ways, that we will not be frightened, we will be challenged and empowered to do what you are calling us to do. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.